Psalms and turn there as we continue 24 chapters in 2 Samuel. Will be done before you know it, and then we're going to get into Daniel and Revelation and hopefully drum up some business for the Sunday school hour. We got down through verse number 23, so I need four people to read five verses. George, you read 1 through 5. He'll take 6 through 10. 6 through 10. Billy, you want to take 6 through 10? 2 Samuel 19. I said 6 through 10, didn't I? I'm sorry. 24 through... Sorry. 20. We're starting out on a normal footing here on Sunday morning. Take 24 through 28, and Billy, you take 29 through 33, and then I need a 34 through 38, Miss Sherry, and then 39 through 43. Scotty, I see that hand wave back there. You're hard to miss. All right, go ahead, George.
And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said unto him, Wherefore winnest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, and I will ride thereon, and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is as an angel of God, to thee before, who is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king, yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king?
So the king said to him, Why do you speak any more of your matters? I have said, You and Ziba divide the land. Then Mephibosheth said to the king, Rather, let him take it all, inasmuch as my lord the king has come back in peace to his own house. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim, and went across the Jordan with the king to escort him across the Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old, and he had provided the king with supplies while he stayed at Maranah, for he was a very rich man. And the king said to Barzillai, Come across with me, and I will provide for you while you are with me in Jerusalem.
And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live that I should go up with the king into Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let my servant, thy servant, I pray thee, come back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Shunem, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good to thee. And the king answered, Shunem shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require me, that will I do for thee.
And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king, said unto the king, Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away, and have brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan? And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, Because the king is near of kin to us, wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten and all of the king? or hath he given us any gift? And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, We have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David than ye. Why then did ye despise us, that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel.
All right, thank you, Four. We have seen, number one, David disappoints his men in verses 1 through 8. Number two, David's desire for unity in verses 9 through 15. Number three, David declares general amnesty, verses 16 through 23. And this morning, number four, David's disturbing decision, beginning with verse number 24. So Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came to meet the king. And if you recall back in chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who David said they would share the land, he met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 of summer fruits, and a jug of wine. The king said unto Ziba, What meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, Where is thy master's son? Where is Mephibosheth? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem, for he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me to the kingdom of my father, return to me the kingdom of my father. So Ziba sought to influence David by these gifts and lied and said Mephibosheth had sided with Absalom, which of course we know not to be true. So Mephibosheth finally comes before the king, and obviously the king wants to know, and he came, by the way, I bet he was rank, because he hadn't washed or changed his clothes or shaved or done anything with his hair for months and months and months and months. So I don't think David had to see him coming, did he? I believe he got the odor. So the son of Saul came to meet the king. He hadn't done anything for himself. I like how the first thing he said is he had neither dressed his feet. Literally had not done anything. So he came with the common signs of mourning. He didn't trim his beard. He didn't wash his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And so he came to, literally from Jerusalem, to meet the king. The king said, Where you been? Why didn't you go with me? Mephibosheth went on to say, Well, my servant Ziba deceived me, for thy servant said, I'll saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame, and he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But, of course, Mephibosheth had a high regard for David, called him an angel of God. Do therefore what's good in your own eyes. For all my fathers had one for you, they would have all died and really were as dead men worthy of death. Yet you set myself before your table. I got to sit with you and eat. You took care of me. What right, therefore, have I to cry or complain any more to the king? Now, the king had a lot of things that he had to deal with, so he didn't really want to get into the specifics of trying to figure out who was telling the truth and who was lying. I think he knew in his heart of hearts that Mephibosheth was probably the one telling the truth. But he went back to what he had originally said, and this kind of bothered me. That's why I said David's disturbing decision, because he didn't really, really know the facts. He said, Let's just take it back to the way it was. You and Ziba, you share the property. Mephibosheth said, I don't want any of it. I just want to be with you. I want to follow you. My loyalty is to you. He was glad that David was back in Jerusalem. And so That's, I think, why David didn't give all the land to Mephibosheth, who really should have got it after what Ziba had done to him. Which leads us to number five. David delights the faithful. David delights the faithful, 31 through 40. Barzillai. Remember, he was one of three wealthy landowners that had come to the aid of David back in chapter 17. In verse 27, it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobai, the son of Nahash of Reba, of the children of Ammon, and Maker, the son of Mael, of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched grain and beans and lentils and parched pulse or roasted seeds and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat, for they said the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Barzillai was one of the three wealthy men. He was 80 years old, getting up in years. And David, of course, so appreciated what he had done for him and his men that he said, I want you to go with us. I'll take care of you for the rest of your life. And Barzillai said, I'm 80 years old. I really want to go home. I want to die there in my own place, be buried with my own family. And so instead he said, and it appears that he was talking about his son. He said, how about if you take my son instead of me? And so I'm not going to read all those verses again. Verse 36, thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense or compensate it me such a reward? I want to go home. Behold, thy servant Shinnom. And if you look at 1 Kings 2:7, it appears he's talking about his son here. Let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Shimham shall go over with me. I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over the Jordan. When the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. And he returned unto his own place. The king went on to Gilgal. Shimham went on with him. And all the people of Judah conducted or accompanied the king. Also half the people of Israel. And now we have the conflict. Again. Or still. Or yet. Seems like it never ends. The 10 tribes of Israel and Judah, it looked like they were leading to another civil war. Remember, I mentioned Benjamin was probably with the northern tribes. And because they had joined Ishbosheth, Saul's son, and later Absalom. So let's look at how it went down here. So only the troops of Judah escorted David over the Jordan. The 10 northern tribes complained to David that Judah had kidnapped him from them. Look at verse number 41. Behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away? They kidnapped you and brought the king and his household and all of David's men with him over Jordan. The men of Judah had an answer. They said, well, because the king is near kin. He is a member of the tribe of Judah, so he is a close relative. So we felt like we should be the ones to bring him over. Why are you angry about this? We haven't taken anything of the king. Hasn't cost him anything. He hasn't given us any gift. Has anything been taken for us? We haven't taken anything. We did what we thought was right because he is the king and we are of Judah and so is he. Well, the men of Israel did not like the answer. And so they said to the men of Judah, we have 10 parts in the kingdom. There are 10 tribes of us, and then there's you. So they felt like, since we have 10 times as many tribes, we ought to have 10 times as much to say about the king and how he got back to Jerusalem. And we have also more right or claim in David than ye. Why then did ye despise or treat us with contempt, that our advice should not be first in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were harsher, fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. So the hostilities here would lead to the rebellion of Sheba that we're going to look at here in chapter 20. Questions? Yes, sir.
Must be cultural, because honestly, I wouldn't care how he got back. I would be just happy that he came back.
They were petty, bickering about every little thing. The tribal tension was constant, and it's going to eventually lead in the not too distant future to the division of Israel and Judah after Solomon. This is the beginning. These are the seeds that were planted that led to the ultimate dividing of Israel between Israel, northern tribes called Samaria, and the southern tribe of Judah. I think the tribe of Simeon was incorporated into Judah. And then, of course, Benjamin, I think, eventually went with the south. All right, so let's look at chapter 20. Any questions, any comments, anything about chapter 19? Yes.
Is there a point number 6 to go with those last couple verses?
It's actually included. It's supposed to have been included with the next point that I'm going to give you, which is not 6, it's number 1.
Okay.
I went all the way to the end of the chapter, but really, verses 41 through 43 should have been with what I'm about to give you. So I gave you like a preview. All right, so thank you for asking, though, because that would have caused confusion. The difficulties for David continued. We're going to look at 4 new conflicts after Absalom's defeat. These are from Warren Wiersbe, my old friend that's with the Lord now. This will carry us through this point. The first one is tribal conflict. Tribal conflict. That's the first conflict. There will be 4 of them we're going to look at. And this one, we have to skip around a little bit. This is verse 41 of the last chapter through verse number 4 of chapter 20. But then we're going to skip some, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 26. So if I could have someone read verses 1 through 4, and then 14 through 18, and then 19, I'll tell you what, do 14 through 19, and then 20 through 26. Who will do 14? Who will do 1 through, let's do 1 through 6, and then 7 through 1 through 6, 7 through 12, and then 13 through 18, and then 19 through 26. I know that's not even, but I don't care. All right, Gary, you want to do the first chunk? Did you hear what I said? Which ones?
6, 1 through 6.
Yeah, do 1 through 6 and 7. We'll do 7 through 13, and then, okay, Becca, and then 14, let's do 14 through 19, 14 through 19. I probably changed it, but I apologize for that. Miss Betty, and then lastly, 20 through 26. 20 through 26. Anybody? This could be your last opportunity. Who knows? All right, Mr. Leonard. All right, go ahead, Gary. You start out.
Okay. And there happened to be there a man of Belial whose name was
Sheba, the son of Bichri, Benjaminite, and he blew a trumpet and said, "We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah came unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. And David came to his house at Jerusalem. And the king took the 10 women, his concubines, who had left to keep the house, and put them in ward, and fed them. But they went not in unto them. So they were shut up until the day of their death, living in widowhood. Then said the king to Amasa, "Assemble me the king, the men of Judah, within 3 days, and be thou here present." So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now shall Sheba, the son of Bichri, do more harm than did Absalom. Take down the Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us."
There went out Absalom and Joab's men, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men, and they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba the son of Bichri. When they were at the great stone which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out. Joab said to Amasa, "Art thou in health, my brother?" Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib, and shed out his bowels to the ground, and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. One of Joab's men stood by him and said, "He that favoreth Joab, and he that is for David, let him go after Joab." And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway. And when the men saw all that the people stood still, they removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him, when he saw that everyone that came by him stood still. When he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri.
And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel, and to Beth-Mashiah, and all the Berites, and they were gathered together, and went also after him. And they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth-Mashiah, and they cast up a bank against the city, and took and stood in the trench. And all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, "Hear, hear, say I pray you unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee." And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, "Art thou Joab?" And he answered, "I am he." Then she said unto him, "Hear the words of thine handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." Then she spake, saying, "They were wont to speak in old time, saying, they shall surely ask counsel to Abel." And so they ended the matter. "I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?"
And Joab answered and said, For be it from me that I should swallow up your despot or destroy it. That is not so, but a man from the mountains of Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bashar by name, has raised his hand against the king, against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. So the woman said to Joab, "Watch, his head will be thrown to you over the wall." Then the woman, in her wisdom, went to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bashar, and threw it out to Joab. Then he blew a trumpet, and they withdrew from the city, every man to his tent. So Joab returned to the king of Jerusalem, and Joab was over all the army of Israel. Benjai, the son of Jebida, was over the Keresherites and the Palestites. Adorn was the charge of revenue. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. Shiva was scribe. Jadak, the Abiathar, were the priests. And Ara, the Jerahite, was a chief minister under David.
All right. Thank all of you. I went ahead and had you read the whole thing, even though we're going to be chopping it up some, just to kind of get the flow. So next Sunday, we're not going to finish this, obviously. Next Sunday, you have to remind me that we don't reread it, okay? But let's look at verses 1 through 4. This is tribal conflict, 1941 through 20, verse 4. We already dealt with the last passages there in chapter 19. And this will also include verses 14 through 26. All right, so the representative of the tribes gathered at Gilgal to escort David to Jerusalem. Instead of celebrating again like they didn't the last time, they were bickering back and forth. The men of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, were angry with the southern tribe of Judah, angry because Judah didn't wait for them and get their counsel and all that kind of stuff. And we saw how it led to a falling out. And now we got a man from the northern tribe who, I like the description here. It says, of course, he happened to be a man of Belial, which can be translated a vile fellow. And then I could also add, which I love, a vile fellow of the baser sort. Now, this man was obviously a man of great power and influence, because there were many still in Israel that believed in the dynasty of Saul. And he obviously was one that did. And so Sheba, since he was of the tribe of Benjamin like Saul, he basically stood up and said, you know what, forget this, I'm out of here, and if anybody wants to come with me, come on. And so we see the disloyalty of Israel. It says every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba. As we get into the story, it doesn't appear that there were that many that really followed him, because he ended up in a walled city outside of Dan. And so I don't know how many. It obviously wasn't every man of Israel. Maybe every one that happened to be there with him. I don't know. He might have brought a delegation with him. But anyway, the fact of the matter is there were a number of disloyal subjects who went from David, followed Sheba, the son of Bichri, but the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. So Judah felt that since David was of their tribe, not only did they follow him, but they were loyal to him, unlike those in Israel. And David came to his house at Jerusalem. He had to deal with the concubines. Somebody tell me why he had to deal with the concubines. Yes, sir.
Absalom went into him.
Yes, he did, that scumbag. He went into him. So David said, man, they are vile now. And so he kind of put them up in a place, and they, for the rest of their lives, were to live like widows. He did not have anything to do with them. So they were put up in a secluded place, and they lived in that house by themselves until they died. They were under guard. Yes.
Why did he even have concubines?
Because he wanted to.
Because he's a pig.
Because he was king. He could get what he wanted.
Because I thought it was one man, one.
Well, that's God's plan. It was always God's plan. Notice the problems that it caused him. And it wasn't him alone. Look at Solomon that comes after him. I mean, he had 700 wives and 1,000 concubines, something like that. I mean, can you imagine? It's a full-time job for me to take care of one woman. How in the world do you take care of 1,700 women?
Amen.
Hope you're not hungry. Guess what you're getting for lunch. Yeah. Yeah, it didn't make any sense, but I, you know, sometimes they would marry foreign women to try to have a good relationship. Come on in. To have a good relationship. Hi. So, there were a lot of reasons why kings would marry these foreign women, but it was not a good idea for whatever reason they would come up with. Okay, so we're going to stop there. Got down through verse number 3. I'm going to go ahead and finish 4. Then said the king to Amasa, assemble me men of Judah within 3 days and be thou here present. He said, I want you to assemble an army. I want them to report to me within a 3-day period. And we'll see what happens after 3 days. Excuse me. So he was David's general who David appointed as his commander after Joab had killed Solomon, when David had said, don't kill Solomon, bring him back to me safely. And we'll see how this all works out as somebody's bowels gush out. Kind of gross, isn't it? Questions, comments? All right, so I got to write me a note. Got through verse 4 on 111. Thank you, sir. You can also write down, if you'd like to, next to chapter 20, the beginning of the chapter, 1 Chronicles 20, 4 through 8. 1 Chronicles 20, 4 through 8, go along with this passage we're on here in 2 Samuel. All right, the prayer, let's continue to pray for the church as we already the second Sunday of January, if you can believe that. Next week is the meeting. A couple weeks later, we have the Lord's Supper. We're into February. And February will fly through, and then we'll be in March, and it just keeps going, doesn't it? Pray for our nation. A lot of hostility. A lot of those that are protesting in various cities are hired. Very few of them actually just come out from their homes. These are hired people brought in to cause havoc and to cause confusion. And I guess they're ones that want to have criminals and rapists and traffickers and all those other things. They want them very active in their cities. I don't understand it. Pray for persecuted Christians around the world. Pray for the situation in Israel, Ukraine, Russia, and now in Venezuela, and of course we don't know what's going to happen with Greenland and the cartels in Mexico. There are all kinds of things that are being talked about. Pray for law enforcement, ICE agents. Pray for our missionaries around the world. Pray for Mark. Continue to pray for Rhonda. Of course, Rhonda's mom went to be with the Lord. The funeral was Friday. And so continue to pray for Rhonda and the family during these difficult days. Talked to Gary's sister, Darlene, down in Florida on Friday. She is doing well. She got a couple of bags of platelets and some blood, so she was ready to go. I call her the miracle lady. Talked to Ronnie this week. He's doing a little bit better. He had a rough couple of weeks. Pray for his great niece, Marissa. She had a defibrillator put in. She's had health issues since birth. And she is, she can't be out on her own. Her parents continue to care for her, even though she's in her later 20s. But she had a defibrillator put in and developed infection. Remember that? They had to take it out, and so she couldn't, she was basically bedridden. Well, they did put a new defibrillator in, and it is working so far very well. She's going to start rehab, get her strength up so she can get up and around. So pray for Marissa. George's aunt on the 26th has a cancerous kidney removed, so pray for her. Pray for our meeting next week. Everything will be done decently and in order to the glory of our God. Pray for Amanda and her mom who are traveling to Florida, leaving today. There's a conference down there, a hot tub conference. It's amazing what they come up with hot. She was telling me some of the stuff that's new in the hot tubs, where it not only tells you when the chemicals are out of balance, but it automatically now fixes that. It dispenses the chemicals to keep it balanced. There's always something new. I asked her when they were going to come up with a way to have where you are toweled off automatically when you come out of it. It won't be long. AI, you know, will come up with a way. Rebecca asked us to add her cousin Karen Taylor, lives out west, not my Rebecca, the other Rebecca, Rebecca too. Her cousin, the sister of the one that we've been praying for, has severe hip pain, and they put her in the hospital, so pray for her. Also been added the passing of June Reddick, and pray for Fred. I didn't put him down because I was hoping he'd be better. So far, you're doing good?
So far.
You are one tough lady.
I spray a lot of lights off.
But Fred's got the whatever crud is going around. And also Cole, pray for Cole, who is sick. Jackson and Wyatt are traveling back to college, so pray for safety for them. All right, let's stand together and ask God to intervene for us. Lord, we're thankful for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that hears and answers prayer. We're so unworthy to ask you anything, but yet you love us so much, and you said we can approach you even boldly, not carelessly or recklessly, but boldly because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, and he has paved the way for us to have access to a holy God. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to lead and direct us as a church. I pray, Father, that you would raise up leaders and raise up servants here at the church, that we could see the ministry expand, that we could reach more people, impact more lives for Christ. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the meeting next week, that your will would be done. I pray, Father, for our nation that is in turmoil, and it's most of it is manufactured. And Lord, we pray that you would still the mouths of the far left radicals. And Lord, I pray the truth would come out, and you'd protect these ICE agents who are just doing what they've been hired to do according to the Constitution, according to the laws of our country. So Lord, I pray that their work could continue, that these dangerous illegal aliens could be removed from our country. They don't belong here. I pray, Father, for Israel and the situation there. Thank you that so far things are going fairly well. And I pray, Lord, there wouldn't be any kind of, Iran is talking about dropping more bombs in Israel. I pray that would not come to pass. And I pray that the Iranian people would be liberated from the tyranny they've been under for decades. I pray for the war in Ukraine, that would end, that lives would be saved. Many, many thousands are dying every month. I pray for the situation in Venezuela, that things would go rapidly, that it wouldn't end up dragging on and dragging on and dragging on, that, Lord, you would pull that nation up out of poverty as it once was a very wealthy nation, that there would be leadership that would be democratic leadership. We pray, Lord, for our missionaries around the world that are preaching the gospel, that you provide for them, give them many souls for their labor. I pray you continue to hold Rhonda up during these difficult days. And Lord, we pray for healing for Mark, which we know you can do. And thank you that Darlene has far surpassed what the doctors predicted, because they're not God and you are. And we pray, if it would please you, that you'd heal her body. In the meantime, please give her many, many good days. We pray, Lord, for Ronnie, that you continue to give him strength and heal him and his great niece, Marissa. Pray that you be preparing the heart of Barb Hazard as she prepares for a serious surgery. We pray for traveling safety for Amanda and her mom, for Jackson and Wyatt as they travel back to college. We pray that you'd heal Fred and Cole and minister and comfort the family of June Reddick, who has gone passed on into eternity. We pray you bless the next hour as we again look to your word. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you would give me wisdom and recall of what I've studied. And Lord, please take your word and plant it deep within our hearts. Holy Spirit of God, stir the heart of that one that may be here without Jesus, that today would be the day of salvation. And reclaim that Christian that is slipping away from close fellowship with you, and draw them back to that fellowship that will bring peace and joy to their lives. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.